Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Welcome back into the Midday Show, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon hanging out with you here in Augusta, getting you ready for the Masters and really all week, but I'm only here today. Par 3, getting ready. You can see some people out there on the course. I mean, I can't see them physically because I'm at Twin Peaks in Augusta. But the golf course is not far, just under 2 miles from here. Is Augusta National, and the players getting ready for the par three and warming up and practicing and getting out there and taking two after what was a rain-soaked Monday and probably some nice feel to the grounds there at Augusta National. Dukes of Bell probably making their way down here right now, as a matter of fact. Bell could probably wait a little longer at the speed that he drives, so he might not get going for another 30 minutes, but looking forward to seeing those guys down here. They're going to be here from 2 until 6. Again, Twin Peaks right here in Augusta getting you ready for the Masters. Also need to get you ready for the final 3 games of the Atlanta Hawks season. And to do so, we turn to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Welcome in Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game. Atlanta Hawks reporter. Caleb, it was a tough go last night, frustrating because it felt like, despite what this season has been, ultimately the seventh seed, and I don't want to make too much of that one game, but it felt like the seventh seed was on the line yesterday, and the Hawks just didn't have anywhere close to their best effort.
Yeah, Abe, I think that's a safe, you know, kind of statement to make that the seventh seed was absolutely on the line last night because, I mean, essentially Orlando, if they beat Boston, like they've claimed that seventh seed, and they can do that tonight. And especially because, like, Boston probably going to start resting some guys as they get towards the end of the season because they're locked into the 2 seed. So the Hawks, you know, essentially want to take care of business to hold on to 8. But things could go wonky and they could end up, you know, kind of getting into that 17. Now, when it comes to last night's game, there were a lot of things that the Hawks could have done better. Like, certainly that is true. However, man, the thing that I took away from last night is the same thing I took away from the last time that the Hawks played the Magic, which is the officiating allows for 2 completely different games to go on between these 2 teams, and it is infuriating. And I get it. Like, I'm covering this team, I'm a fan of this team. So in a little bit, maybe a less impartial position than others would be when watching these games. But it was so easy to see that the officials were like, hey, Orlando can be as physical as they want. I mean, they can bump into the Hawks all the way down the floor anytime they're driving to the paint. Like, anytime they want, Orlando can be as physical as they want to be. And yet the Hawks, anytime they try to match that physicality, which I think given the fact that they weren't having their best shooting night, you know, was like that's the only way they were going to be able to stay in this type of a game. And they weren't allowed to do that. And then I think you saw, you know, things go from what was a close game early in the first and midway through the second quarter to where Orlando was really able to kind of have their way. And even though things stayed close, it just never really felt like the Hawks had a legitimate shot to get back into this game because they couldn't match that physicality.
And so with that said, and we're just going to play it out here, this could be and seems maybe likely, hopefully, for the Hawks that if they can slide in and stick with the 8 seed, this is the first matchup, right, on the road in Orlando like we saw last night. So is there anything you saw last night that gives you reason to believe the Hawks would win that game in a week's time or just under a week's time?
I think Trey going off. You know, like he at least started to in this game because it was very different from the way that Trae Young typically plays games. Like Trae's philosophy, and he's told us in the media multiple times after games when I've talked to him, that he likes to get his teammates involved in the game plan early on. I think in this one, he clearly wanted to show, hey, let's get some scoring going. That way, you know, we can kind of play from a position of being ahead and settle into these things as Orlando is going to get physical and as, you know, fouls are going to get called. I think the other thing that's got to change from last night into this eventual, you know, play-in game, I should say, is that I think the rotations have got to go differently. I know it's a very ticky-tacky thing to nitpick that sort of a thing. But I thought you had something interesting going leading up to this game where Mogay was coming off the bench and providing some size for you at the five, not something that he's been doing in the past, but clearly something that the Hawks he has the ability to do, and I think he did so pretty well. I think they wanted to match size early on against Orlando, so they slid Mo into the four last night. But I just think him coming off the bench as the five and providing that rim protection and just that ability to attack the basket would help them a lot more off the bench than he did in the starting lineup. And I think guys have just got to be pretty hot shooting wise, and Orlando honestly isn't going to be as hot shooting as they were last night. Like, this is a historic, and Steve was talking about it during the game, like this is a 31% three-point shooting team, and yet last night I think they were it was like 42%, 41, I can't remember, but like they shot, especially early on, they were lights out from three, which they do not typically do. So, you know, if they have more of a normal game and the Hawks, I mean, you know, kind of feels dumb saying, but like the Hawks have a really positive offensive night, which they are known to do more likely, then I think you've got a much, much better shot of advancing. But it's really like the physicality has got to be even both ways. And what we've seen in the playoffs, not so much the play-in, but hopefully that will count as well. But the postseason is that the officials swallow their whistles.
Hey, Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Hawks reporter, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy and Randy here on the Midday Show. And I like how you answered that last question. Again, for those who maybe tuned in late to the question, I said, did you see anything last night that gives you reason to believe the Hawks would win in Orlando in the play-in round? And you eventually got to, like, I don't know, they could change up some formations and rotations and they won't shoot that well. But I like essentially you're just like, I don't know, man, like maybe we get playoff Trey. Like I like how that's as succinct as we can get. It's like, I don't know, maybe Trey takes over a game. He's been known to do that in the playoffs. I don't disagree with you, by the way. It's just funny that like your first response is, maybe Trey goes wild. Who knows?
That's
what our hopes are right now.
Well, we've reached a point where, like, the Hawks are playing with house money. I think expectations have kind of changed.
So, all right, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, because I want to follow up on that conversation, because and we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, because I think I'm a lot more in line with where you are, and that is the season overall and how the Hawks are finishing up, and this is a team that, for those who missed the conversation like 30 minutes ago, this is a team that lost their second best player, a guy that maybe was even trending towards being their best player in Jalen Johnson. They're still hovering around 500. They're still going to be involved in the play-in round. They've beaten some of the better teams in the NBA, Cleveland, Boston, New York. They've all, obviously, I'm not going to ignore the fact that they've lost to some of the worst teams in the NBA as well. But I didn't let expectation go crazy. And I think, considering some of the factors this team has faced, if you can hold on to the 8th seed, maybe make it interesting and just get to the playoffs, I think I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not, like, frustrated or down, like, oh, another year, all we could do was the play-in round. I think it's a little bit different this year. You got a lot of development from Dyson Daniels. You got a lot of development from Zachary Richardson, and I just seem to be a little bit more okay with that.
Yeah, like, this season was always going to be a wash, and I think for any fan who didn't believe that, you were just like you were living in a fantasy land. Like, this was always going to be a season about development and just seeing what you've got. And now I do think the thing that has really hurt the Hawks is two pieces that they would really like to know what they've got have been hurt for most of the season. And Jalen Johnson, I think, like, not to say that you don't know what you've got, and as far as, like, he is a young, promising talent, but I think you really wanted to learn, okay, how far can Jalen progress and how far can he take this team? And you didn't get to learn that. And then Kobe Bufkin, I mean, that's a guy who you really wanted to learn more about him before you have to potentially promise him some money coming up in October of this year. And you'll have to do that having just some preseason games for, another year because of his injuries. And so I think, given the talent that they've got, if you were talking preseason, most people were like, I mean, maybe they're a play-in team, but they probably don't even make that. They've won more games this year than they did last year, and they are absolutely in the play-in with a chance to, you know, potentially make the playoffs. Like, this is not ahead of schedule, but this is slightly overachieving to what would have been the likely expectations. It's just along the way they had that NBA Cup run where they kind of showed people, oh, this team does have some really solid pieces that can take you further. It's just what we've learned over the course of a full season is, you know, some of those pieces still have some development to go because they're pretty young. And so they're going to have frustrating times where you lose games you shouldn't lose, you win games you shouldn't win, and you're somewhere around the middle of the pack, which a lot of the fans, you know, don't love being in.
Caleb, final question, and please try and keep it to 20 seconds. We're pretty late here. What do you think led to the firing in Denver?
Oof, yeah, that's a situation where it seems like the coach didn't like the GM, and so ownership was like, well, you're both going to go. I think it's really dumb on their part. Like, you should have fired the GM because I think he hasn't given Michael Malone a good enough roster to compete with Jokic. And now, you know, Jokic could be asking out and want to go to a different place, and I wouldn't blame him in the least bit.
Caleb, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Hawks reporter, Caleb Johnson. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, man. You have a good one.
All right, there you go. Caleb Johnson back to his duties. And again, if you want to check out the Hawks, do so Friday with Andy Bunker, Michelob Ultra at Dudley Sports Bar and Grill. Got the Atlanta Hawks watch party going on Friday night. When we get back, it's time for a vibe check. Atlanta Braves fans, I want to hear from you as well. Have an opportunity to call in and have your vibes on the Braves right now heard. We're also going to hear what Bo Johnson's vibe on the Braves. Obviously, Bo, one of the bigger Braves fans, and was down there at Truist. So I want to hear a couple stories of what's going on down there. But I'm not where I thought I would be after a win over the Phillies. I'll tell you why on the other side. It's the Midday Show live, Twin Peaks in Augusta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Kind of a combo between the rejoin talking about the Masters here in Augusta and the music chatting about the Braves. We're gonna really ramp up the Masters talk in our next segment. Dennis Paulson, good buddy of mine, PGA Tour, former PGA Tour golfer, current PGA Tour analyst and insider, is going to join us and get you set for what we will see at Augusta National all week long. But I do want to get back into the Braves here. And a couple of stories real quick before we get a vibe check. And if you want to get involved, 404-726-0929. Happy to hear your thoughts after last night's, I didn't call it a come-from-behind victory, but significant win over the Philadelphia Phillies, setting up the potential for a nice series and potentially even a sweep. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we'll get some vibe check from Braves fans in a moment, including our own Bo Johnson. But two things of note for the Braves. The Braves did trade for Astros reliever Rafael Montero, traded a player to be named later. Don't be concerned about the contract. The Astros are picking up a good portion. They're going to send some money to the Braves that should cover a good deal of that contract. So I know it's a little bit bloated. They signed him after one of the World Series wins. to a new deal, and he has not performed very well. But the Braves are going to take a chance on him. We know AA has been one to find those reclamation products, projects, and hopefully Rafael Montero could be the latest one, but a new arm potentially in the Braves bullpen, and it's not costing the Braves that much. That's some good news in terms of what you're adding to the roster. Some bad news, unfortunately, is Ronaldo Lopez. He had a shoulder procedure. He's going to be reevaluated in 12 weeks. He's not going to throw at all during that time. A lot of people probably also already figured this out, but I'm becoming less and less optimistic that he will have a role at any point in this season. I know this would put him in August and reevaluate, and maybe they get good news here, but it just feels rare that they reevaluate and they're like, yeah, you're good to go. No, it's normally like, you're going to miss the rest of the season. Sorry, bud. Anyways, that's a little bit of a downer, but certainly what brought you back up was last night's game. 7-5 win over the Phillies, and you didn't get ideally what you wanted from Chris Sale, but the bullpen was outstanding. The offense was outstanding. And now I'm here for a vibe check. And before I bring in Bo Johnson, I just want to tell you where I'm at very briefly, and I'll get into more detail after we hear from Bo. Because normally I'd be riding high, right? A series opening win against the Phillies. I am slow playing it right now because after 10 runs against the Marlins, the bats went silent the very next day. So I'm staying calm. I'm not going to get behind one game means we're back, right? I'm not fully there. But as I've been relatively level-headed about a terrible start for the Braves, there's been no panic, a little bit of frustration, but also understanding it's a long season. You're going to have spells, up spells and down spells over the course of the year. It just happens to be you're starting on one. So one game doesn't mean we're back. I want to see it again, obviously. But I like to think that it calms quite a few people's nerves. Again, the Midday Show has been relatively even-keeled on this, but I do like to think it gives you an opportunity to take a breath, and then, more importantly, it gives you an opportunity to do something really important in games 2 and 3 against the Phillies as well. All right, let's go back to the Kia Studios. Bo Johnson pulling double, triple, quadruple duty on the show today. And obviously, quintuple duty, if you count his trip to Truist Park, after the show. And I want to get your vibe in just a moment, but Bo, what could you tell from, your job there at the Truist Club in terms of the energy, the electricity throughout the game, and just people had to be hyped, as that thing, they take a lead and then eventually close it out.
Yeah, man. Last night was fun. They got down, they got up, they got down, they got up. It was a roller coaster game. And look, people are still mostly positive about this season. We got 152 games left, and we've overcome bigger odds in half as much time. So you know, I know it's only 2 wins in the season. It's not the ideal situation, but overall, fans are still positive. Look, we got to understand this is not New York. This is Atlanta, where we do, you know, we tend to give our teams a little bit more rope than other, you know, fan bases should, but that's just how we roll down here. They're going to be fine, you know. I'm not sitting here saying we're going to come out and win the division or the National League or the World Series right now because we're 2-8. But I've seen much worse, you know, out of other baseball teams. And I hate that saying, look at the back of the baseball card, but that kind of rings true here. These guys are better than this. Look, we got 4 hitters over 200 now. Bats are starting to come around. There are positive things.
Yeah, and one of those things, just obviously it jumps out at you yesterday, is the return of Sean Murphy. He's got 2 hits, 4 RBI, including a 3-run home run off of Zach Wheeler. He's got his brand-new rec specs that he can now see the ball. And what do they say there? See ball, hit ball. And that's what happened last night for Sean Murphy. But he wasn't alone. And I mentioned this at the start of the show. Every Braves starter had at least 1 hit, Austin Riley among them, 2 for 5, 2 doubles, including the go-ahead RBI that sent Ozuna around the bases. And the other thing, which, look, credit where credit is due. Jared Kelnick had a really rough year last year. He had 4 really good plate appearances yesterday. 3 of those walks and a hit as well. I thought Orlando Arcia had a couple of good plate appearances as well. He had a key hit in a comeback rally also. So, look, the bottom of the order, and this is when the Braves are at their best, and we've talked about it, and more so when Acuna's in there. I think we understand that. When the bottom of the order turns it over to the top, that's how it needs to work. And I think we did see a little bit of the bottom order producing on their own, obviously with Sean Murphy, but also turning it over to the top a little bit. The other thing was the concerns about the Braves' bullpen. And not, again, if one game doesn't mean you're fully back, I don't think one great performance by a bullpen over the stretch of four-plus innings means that everything is fine there. Like I said, they traded for an Astros reliever during the game. And so they obviously think they need a little more in the bullpen. But the bullpen did its job yesterday. The Phillies bullpen did not. And that's the other aspect of this, is you got down to the Phillies bullpen, something that has cost the Phillies in years past, and you were able to do damage and pull a series opening win. Some of the concern is Chris Sale. Obviously just doesn't look like Cy Young, that form yet. And hopefully it's just a little early season blip, still working some things out, but you'd like to see him get back on track. The good news is Schwellenbach has picked up the slack in terms of someone being that guy for the Atlanta Braves, and he was actually just on MLB Network not too long ago. He'll be taking the mound tomorrow in the series finale against Jesus Luzardo against the Phillies, but tonight it is Taijuan Walker against Grant Holmes. And look, I called this matchup a toss-up yesterday. I don't know if either team really feels a fan base or should feel that strongly that they have a massive advantage in this one. I know Taijuan Walker's got a little bit more history as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, but he's had some up and down times as well. Grant Holmes, we're still kind of figuring out exactly what Grant Holmes can be, and obviously taking a little bit of the Ronaldo Lopez path, an extended long reliever. Now they're trying to turn him into a starter, got some good stuff. And so hopefully he can settle in, because I think he's got an opportunity to be very good. And they certainly need him to be good with Ronaldo Lopez and the injury news from him. Coming up, a lot still to come on the Midday Show today. In our next segment, Dennis Paulson is going to break down the Masters with us. Got some sound from former Falcon safety Justin Simmons that you have to hear when we get to the NFL no huddle. A couple of other NFL stories. We're going to bounce around with Tyler Dragon, USA Today's NFL columnist. Also, Grant McCauley is going to talk Braves with us in the 1 o'clock hour. So a lot still to come. It's Abe Gordon here on the Midday Show. I'm live at Twin Peaks in Augusta, and we're right here on Robert C. Daniel Parkway, less than 2 miles from Augusta National, right off the highway there in a shopping area called the Augusta Exchange. And we talked about it earlier. For those of you who have joined us at remotes at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, this ain't your daddy's Twin Peaks. This thing is primed and ready. It is a massive, massive bar and restaurant. The beer's even colder down here, too. It was just 26.9 degrees. It jumped up to 27. That's all right. Dukes of Bell on their way here as well. They're going to be joining Twin Peaks Augusta Showcase here and doing their show from 2 to 6 as well. When we come back, Dennis Paulson, former PGA golfer, PGA Tour analyst and insider, is going to join us and get us set for the Masters on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
That's right. I am here in Augusta, less than 2 miles from Augusta National as we await the Masters. Yeah, officially gets going tomorrow. Obviously, par three tournament, some practice rounds, all that good stuff taking place today. But we are here at Twin Peaks Augusta, Robert C. Daniel Parkway, right off the highway, less than 2 miles from Augusta National. And I am here, but we're also going to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. That's Atlanta's Ford dealer. And welcome in Dennis Paulson, former tour golfer, PGA Tour analyst and insider, and a guy I love talking to as the majors are around. Dennis, obviously the Masters is always something special for those of us in Georgia. How special is it just in general for tour golfers who get to play at all four majors and some of the other significant tournaments over the course of the year? Is it always number one for everyone, at least of the Americans? I know Europeans might feel different for British and all that, but like, is it that for everyone? Because it's definitely that for us in Georgia.
I think so. I think for most of the Americans, the Masters is pretty special. And you talk to every single guy that won the U.S. Open, he might put that in front of it, but they have to win the U.S. Open to probably put it above Augusta. It's pretty special. And it's special for guys who got, like myself, who got the opportunity to play in it. And I enjoy this week so much that I ask not to work it. I have the opportunity to go to Augusta and spend time there. I did it once about 3 years ago, first time I've ever been off property or on property and not played in the tournament. And it was incredible, the infrastructure around it, and to learn all the stuff that you don't know as a player being there is really incredible. And the way they treat you is, the media is just incredible. The media center, plantation home, that's probably 40,000 square feet. It looks like literally a plantation home on the back of the tournament practice area is incredible, and they just treat you so well. But for the players, I think what really brings the mystique is that you've waited 9 months for the next major, and it happens to be the Masters, and that makes it even that much more special for the players that are competing.
As an analyst here, Dennis, because the Masters is the only major that's held annually at the same course, and I know they make some changes, but there's only so much you can do year to year. Do you feel that this major is more predictable than the other three?
No question. Unless you've played in some of the other majors and you know, on venues that they've hosted before, you know, if you got to play St. Andrews a few times, it might be a little different story for some, and you know, a few of the other courses that they use in the PGA or the U.S. Open Rota, but there is absolutely something about this tournament that what I noticed when I played it the first time, when I came back, it didn't feel like it was a year away. It felt like it was only a few months away, you know, from when I last played there. And the memories are so much fresher. And I think that's something that if they're good memories, you know, you can build on those. If they're bad, then it's something that you have to deal with and try to figure the golf course out. And why was I not successful this go around?
Dennis Paulson, former PGA Tour golfer, tour analyst, and insider on the WadeFord.com hotline, gets you ready for the Masters. Today, the par 3 tournament here, Dennis. Are you one of those superstitious fellas who believes that winning the par 3 is going to impact your ability to perform the next 4 days?
I just went out there to have fun. You know, I really did. The first year I played, my kid was almost 3. My mom actually made a jumpsuit, and my son might be the first one that ever had a jumpsuit on the par 3. Now, you know, all the family members have them. I don't know if that started a tradition or not, but he was on the front page of the Augusta whatever paper that next morning on my shoulders coming off the ninth green. So, and I let him putt the last hole, and I don't think I was playing very good. I was probably a couple under par. I have no idea. I wasn't paying attention to score. It's about family and celebration. It really is. But there are guys that really truly believe that they're not going to shoot a score. I mean, they literally have they pick it up somewhere if they're having a good day.
Dennis Paulson on the WadeFord.com hotline getting you ready for the Masters. So let's turn to the next 4 days here, and let's just break down the course for a quick bit. Does Augusta National right now, as it's playing, still favor the big hitters, or has that been tempered down a little bit?
No, I think it still does. I mean, the golf course is super, super long. This week it'll be interesting. We got 1.7 inches of rain on Monday, but it was kind of a soaking rain, and it kind of got in and out of there. There was a couple of little deluges that rolled off, but the golf course was in fabulous shape. It's starting to get a little skippier and a little bouncy. You know, we had to resurface, I think, 4 of the greens it was after the hurricane due to some, you know, damage that happened with fallen trees. I think the biggest thing for the players more than anything else is to figure out if those greens are going to react a little bit differently with a new surface on there than the remainder of the greens. That's one thing. And then 2, how is areas like Amen Corner and how's 6 and 7, that area down there, and 3 going to play, and 4 where all those trees – that they've lost thousands of trees, but not many on the golf course itself. But the I like to call it the jungle or the buffer around the golf course is definitely thinned out play. You know, when 12 can kind of play downwind, it hits those trees and almost plays like it plays back into the wind. So you really get fooled. Now, is that thinned out play a little differently? And I think for the players that have played it 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, a guy like Phil Mickelson, is he got to learn a whole new kind of how the wind blows from certain directions and how does it wrap around and does it blow through those trees a little more than bounce around a little more? I think that's something that the players are going to deal with more than anything else. But for the most part, with the exception of number 2 and number 11, where it's a little easier visually off the tee for faders, the golf course really is all.
Well, so let me follow up on that, because you mentioned that the guys are still really going to be figuring out how it's going to play with some of the changes, but more so some of the weather. Does that give players in the first round who are later tee times an advantage over the early morning guys because they've maybe seen how the other players are faring and what the greens looks like?
That's a great question. Caddies really pay attention a lot more than the players. I mean, I don't know. I watch some, but not a whole lot. I can tell basically how a course played just by the scores. kind of how they're, you know, how they're going to be. But you've got to have the hole locations too and really know what's going on, what holes are going to play easy, what holes are going to play hard, just because of the hole locations themselves. There's so much that goes into it more than that. You know, some guy could just be making everything and he's 600 par through 12. You go, oh my gosh, it's pretty easy, but it really isn't. Guy's made 150 feet worth of putts already. He's only played 12 holes. So there's all sorts of stuff that goes into it. But as an overall scoring, looking at it and seeing how the players are doing, yes, I think that's something that you're going to figure out, ooh, I've got my hands full today, or maybe this golf course is gettable. And the problem is that morning to afternoon can be completely different depending upon if you have wood in the morning and it lays down in the afternoon or vice versa.
Dennis Paulson, former PGA Tour golfer, PGA Tour analyst and insider, joining us here as we get set for the Masters. It's Abe Gordon live at Twin Peaks in Augusta, less than 2 miles away from Augusta National. I think we're going to talk about the field here in just a moment, Dennis, but I just don't think anyone can really have the Masters discussion and potential winners without starting with Rory. Is this finally the year for him?
It's not a problem. Never happened. I mean, you can't ask for a better. He's never played this well early in the year. Everybody behind him, with the exception of Scottie Scheffler, he played well at Houston. I think he's pretty much back or pretty close to being back where he was last year. But everybody else is a question mark behind him, and he's not. But the big question is, can he get out of his head and not get all caught up in this, you know, chasing the Grand Slam, career Grand Slam? And his scoring average the first day is absolutely abysmal. And he's got to go out there and play a good round of golf tomorrow. There's no question that he does. 19 out of the last 20 have been in the top 10 over the last 20 years after the opening round. And you know who that one person wasn't by chance?
I would guess Tiger.
It was Tiger, and he was 11th. So 11th in the last 20 years is as far back as anybody has come from winning the Masters after their opening round. Pretty crazy.
Well, so you're suggesting that there's not a ton of golfers that are really in form right now that would lead you to believe, like, just, hey, I'd be shocked if this guy wasn't in contention. So, like, obviously Scottie is in that discussion, but who are two or three other golfers that maybe can find their form? You think the course just suits them and it feels like they're ready either to win their first major or to get another one?
Well, I think Morikawa is that guy that everybody's looking at right now. There's only two players that have had three top tens in the last three events, and that's Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler, naturally. I had some other pretty impressive stats here that said that in three of the last four years' top tens, there's only five players in that miss, and that's Cameron Smith, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and Will Zalatoris, believe it or not. Why I'm saying that is because you think these guys have had a great track record and they've done really well here. If you don't bring your game, you got a really good chance to miss the cut, let alone, you know, finish in the top 10. And I think that's what's so great about Augusta, that you could feel great, but if you just can't control a certain shot or you can't miss it, like when you get in a bad spot, can I miss it or put it in a place where I can get it up and down? Those are the things that really give you the opportunity to have a chance on Sunday. It's the guy that makes that pretty good swing, you know, like Ludvig Åberg did last year, where he was playing great and made a pretty good swing at 12 and just pulled it, or 11 and pulled it and went in the penalty area and hit the pond and made a double bogey, and that cost him the tournament. And you think about the whole week you play, and that one swing might have been the one that kept him from winning that golf tournament.
A couple final questions here with Dennis Paulson, PGA Tour analyst and insider, radio host, former PGA Tour golfer. And I haven't spoken to you in a little while, so a couple of things have happened in golf since then. Wanted to get your thoughts on the TGL. Obviously, and for whatever reason, at the Atlanta Drive win it. I was, like, very highly invested in their performance. But just your thoughts overall on how that league performed and maybe what it can do to advance golf and personalities and all of those aspects of the TGL.
Well, I think the TGL, if you can put put it as entertainment and not as golf, per se. And I used air quotes there when I said golf, because it's like an entertainment aspect of it. And this simulator golf is something that a lot of people are enjoying. I know a lot of people that are investing money in simulator, you know, lounges to go hang out and spend an evening, or be a member so you can practice and bring guests to play golf on golf courses. There's a lot of them going in, actually, in the Atlanta and Aiken and Augusta area right now for those folks. And I think it's really, really cool. I was blown away more by how the technology was going to work than anything else. And I fell in like for it. I mean, it was one of those things that was a must watch. I did record it for my job, and I watched probably 70% of it. And I really thought it was fun. I think the players need to embrace it a little more and have a little more showmanship. You know, Billy Horschel is over the top fun. But I was really excited for Atlanta. My producer, who you know, he's a big Atlanta guy too. And he goes, man, at least we can win something. That's what his terminology was. You've got one real championship under your belt.
Another championship team for Arthur Blank. Yeah, just got 30 seconds here, Dennis. Just how frustrating, how disappointing was it to hear about Tiger Woods' Achilles injury?
My gosh, it's so frustrating. You know, I've known Tiger since he was 12 years old, and for him to have to go through this again, I went through surgeries and back issues, and I banged my head against the wall and said, this hurts, I'm tired, I'm done, and I quit. He just won't quit. I mean, he just loves the game so much and loves the competition. I hope this is like a perceived rest for him more than anything, and his body can get even better and stronger. Because the one thing I did notice this last year, and I think you'll agree, is he looked better than he'd ever have since the car accident. I mean, his gait was good. He was walking well. And that's the thing I think for Tiger more than anything else is, you know, if he can walk the golf course, he can play a golf course. Can he walk a golf course? And he's as fit as you can be, but still walking is hard on the body with what he's done to his leg.
Dennis Paulson, former PGA Tour golfer, PGA Tour analyst and insider. I hope you enjoy the next couple of days of the Masters. I know those of us here in Atlanta, Augusta, certainly will.
I will be on the couch. Don't worry about it. If you need to get a hold of me, I'll have my phone close.
Always appreciate the time. Dennis Paulson, a pleasure to chat with, and really knows his golf, has been there, played it. Can really expand the conversation. Thanks so much for him for joining the show. When we come back here on the Midday Show, we're halfway home, and we're going to get into the NFL on the other side. Justin Simmons said something about QB1 for the Atlanta Falcons that you absolutely need to hear. That's coming up in the NFL No Huddle on the other side. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show, live Twin Peaks in Augusta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like,
yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.